is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Come on, let's just stay right here for a minute.
Relax in his presence. Don't fight him. Relax. Oh, if you only knew how much he truly loves you. You know, he left us and he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our guide, our teacher, to relax us in his presence. There's peace there. There is warmth and comfort there because he loves you. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Lord.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your holy presence in this house. We thank you for your visitation, Father God. The change that you bring to us, your still small voice that speaks to us, Father, we're so thankful. We bless your holy name. Father God, this morning we ask that you would till up the soil in our hearts that we might receive your word. Change us this day, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would use these lips, this body, every breath that comes through me. Use this tongue to proclaim your unadulterated truth, Father God. For Lord, we know it's the truth that will set us free. So give us ears to hear this morning, Lord. Let us hear what you're saying to us, the church, in this time, in this city. In Jesus' name, we ask all this. And everybody shouted amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, once again, we're taking a look. The title of the message is Rediscover the Word. And last week, we began speaking about the topic, and we spoke about the parable of the sower, and we walked through that in Mark chapter 4. And we learned that first, we must not only hear the word, right, but we must accept the word, and we must obey the word. And we pinned that scripture down with James chapter 1 that states that we must not only be a hearer of the word, come on Bible students, but what? A
doer
of the word. So we have to put some motion. We have to put some feet to our faith. James goes on to write in the second chapter that faith without works is dead. So once again, we must hear and obey. If you missed that message, it's obviously on our YouTube channel as well as our Facebook page. You can check it out there if you want to get caught up. This is going to be part two of that message. So we must hear and obey the word of God. But furthermore, saints, there should be some type of evidence in our life that the word is taking root. In other words, there should be some growth, the fruit of the Spirit. It should have some love and some joy and some peace should be coming. There should be some long suffering, should be some of the fruit of the Spirit that should be coming out our lives. And Jesus said, you judge a tree by what? Its fruit, not its giftings. So this fruit should be evident in the believer's life. If you say, I believe in Jesus, but you're not bearing any fruit, you've got to think, am I abiding in the vine? We need to abide in the vine if we're going to bear fruit for Jesus. And you know, sometimes we all need a little pruning. Come on, somebody say amen. Some we need some things cut up off of our lives every once in a while. But it should be, our lives should have good fruit accompanied by good works. Lastly, in review, I want us to look at the scripture that we looked at last week, which is found in the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. You can throw that up there for me, Caleb. It says, the days are coming. I would say the days are here, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing of the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea, wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And notice that the scripture says that there's not a famine of God's word, but there's a famine of the hearing of God's word. Because how many of you know God is always speaking? God is always speaking. We know that throughout the word of God, he speaks. But the question is today, are we listening? Are we reading our Bible? How's our closet time? Are we spending intimate time with the Lord Jesus Christ in our prayer? So that's our review. Let's move on into today's message. We're going to talk about King Josiah. Let me give you just a little bit of a historical background. About 120 years before Josiah, we have a prophet named Hosea, and the Lord gives him a sobering prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. So let's walk through the first six verses of Hosea chapter 4. It's in your Old Testament, Hosea chapter 4. We're going to begin right at verse 1. The Bible says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. So let's take our time with these. Listen, saints, you can pretty much replace the word of the nation Israel there with any nation on earth. Unfortunately, you could also replace that word with the church, because where there is no knowledge of God, where there is no God awareness in a society, there is then no truth, there is no mercy. Each man will do what is right in his own eyes. And we know in the book of Judges, the very last verse of that book, in chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, in those days when there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In other words, when there's no final authority, there's complete chaos. Listen, don't miss this. Watch. When every man has their own truth, there is in effect no truth. Did y'all get that? I want to say it again. When every man has their own truth, there is in effect no truth. If you remember back in our study of apologetics, when somebody tells you that, and you know this is very common today, there is no absolute truth. You just need to simply ask them this, is that absolutely true? Y'all get that? It's a self-defeating argument. Because when people say there's no truth, well, is that true what you're saying? So when you remove truth, there becomes no truth. But here's the fact. Here's the fact. The truth is, and the truth can be known. Because when there is no truth, and however, in reality, how many of you know there's only one truth? Because the Bible says in John chapter 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But when there is no truth, man begins to set up his own just system. This is the birth, listen, saints of God, this is the birth of social justice, which is getting preached a lot across a lot of pulpits today. It's not God's justice, it becomes man's justice, it becomes society's justice. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me this morning. Listen, when there is no truth in a society, when there is no longer a God awareness, you have the result of people now who just live together without a marriage. It's now become normalized. Come on, some of you seasoned saints remember back in the day, if somebody in the town lived together without marriage, it was taboo. But now it's just become normalized. It's okay when there's no truth in a society, when there's no longer a God awareness, you have a society that indulges and celebrates deviant sexual behavior. Well, talk to me, somebody. When there's no truth in a society, when there's no longer a God awareness, you approve and you legalize the mutilization of children by castrating little boys and removing the breast of little girls in the name of gender-affirming care. Oh, is somebody hearing me this morning? When you remove the truth from a society, when there's no longer truth, when you remove the God awareness, you begin to relabel pedophiles as minor attracted people. When there's no longer a God awareness, you label people who enter your country illegally as undocumented. No, they're illegal. When there's no truth in a society, you legalize and condone the murder of 60 million unborn children, offering their own children at the altar of Molech or Planned Parenthood, whatever name you want to use in there, which is one and the same, in the name of a woman's right. Oh, does somebody hear what I'm saying? When you remove the truth from a society, when you remove God awareness from a society, when there's no God awareness in the nation, saints of God. Everyone does what is right in his own eyes. If there is no God, then there's no truth. So here's the question. Who's the final arbiter? Who's to say what is right and what is wrong? I'm here to tell somebody in this house or watching by this broadcast, my friend, there is a final arbiter. There is a final judge, and there is a truth, and the truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. I wish somebody in the house would give our God a praise right there. Now watch how Hosea walks through this. Verse 2. Verse 1, you know, you hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There's no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 2, watch, by swearing and lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. Sound familiar? They break all restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Listen, saints of God, without truth, without mercy, without the knowledge of God in the land or in a nation, there is chaos erupting. Come on, do you see it happening around the world? There's bloodshed upon bloodshed, the Bible says. Several American cities are breaking records for violent crimes, including homicide, rape, carjackings. New York City recently had to send the National Guard down to the subways because it's so chaotic down there. And people are being just beaten and murdered and robbed. We're calling in the military. Listen, it's not going to be long. We're going to become a police state. New Washington, D.C., motor vehicle theft up 82%. Robbery, 67%. Arson, 167%. That's our nation's capital. That's supposed to be our best and our brightest living there. We have a border that is wide open with criminals, gangs, terrorists around the world flooding into our nation. Listen, listen. This crisis was caused by one stroke of the pen, and it could be stopped by one stroke of the pen. Is somebody hearing me? There is not one new law that needs passed to stop that nonsense. Not one. I don't care what these politicians try to say. The Bible says they break all restraint. Here, let me put it in today's vernacular. Let's defund the police. Let's eliminate cash bail. Let's pass a law in California whereby you can steal up to $950 out of a store and you get a little slap on the wrist because it's a misdemeanor. What do you think that says to the criminal?
Do what you want.
Do what you want. Break all restraint. Come on, is somebody following me down here? These godless governors and mayors and other political leaders, and might I add, listen, even church leaders do not want the Bible, which dictates earthly police authority to keep the law in order. It's in Romans chapter 13. You need to read it in your Bible. It's in the Word. But this is the result of a famine of the hearing of the Word of God in our land. So now these mayors all over the country, you see them crying. They already defunded their police. Now they want more money from the federal government because they reallocated the police funds that they had on nonsensical causes, and now they don't have enough money to fund their own police. And even if they did have the money, the police, the recruiting is down so low, people don't even want to work there. Because who wants to be a police officer in today's climate? When the government can't even stand behind you and they allow you to get beaten on a street and then they let the criminals go. Come on, somebody. They break all restraint. Even the military recruitment around our nation, I don't know if you ever looked at those numbers, they're tragically low. We don't even have the military people that we need to have. Listen, saints of God, this is the tragic fruit of forsaking the knowledge of God, for forsaking truth, for forsaking mercy, and breaking all restraint. Listen to me right here. You reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. Now, Satan, the devil, that liar, he makes us think. Now, because I was back in that day one time, right? When you wanted to break restraint. Come on, I got any restraint breakers in here in the past? You wanted to cast off all restraint. Do what you want to do. Free love. Free dope. Everything free. Sleep with who you want to sleep. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. But see, watch here. Satan makes us think or hope that casting God's law away is a doorway to utopia. It's a doorway to freedom. But in truth, how many of you know it's only a path to destruction? So now what happens? Let's read in Hosea chapter 4, verse 3. Watch this. Therefore, the land will mourn. Translated, economic hardship. Y'all quiet on me. That's all right. Let the word of God go forth. It's not my word. It's not my message. I'm just a messenger. Therefore, the land will mourn economic hardship, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beast of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now, let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. This is a heavy word, saints of God. What this is talking about is your safety is going to be taken away. Your walls are going to be tore down. The one who nurtures you is going to be removed. Is somebody hearing me? In verse 4 it says, for you, your people are like those who contend with the priest. This is a reference out of the book of Deuteronomy when God commanded the people to listen to and submit to the priest. The responsibility of the priest was to teach the Torah, to teach the word of God. In other words, the people of the land won't listen to the preachers. They won't listen to the teachers of the word of God. They contend with those who are preaching the truth. In other words, they contend with those who are calling for repentance. They contend with those who call for them to turn. They just want their ears tickled. Much like King Ahab in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, he didn't want to hear the prophet Micaiah. The Bible says he hated Micaiah. The Bible says Ahab hated him because he never spoke a good thing about him. He just wanted to listen to the 400 false prophets that were on his payroll and tickled his ear. He just wanted the prophets around him to prophesy blessing and prosperity into his life. He didn't want to hear the truth of the word of God that Micaiah was bringing to him, the warning that God was trying to get through to him. Here's a message. Here, listen, here's a message for the current teachers, preachers, and prophets today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Throw it up there, Caleb. I charge you, therefore, before God and his Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. Come on, somebody shout, preach. The word. Preach the word, he says. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own ears, hearing what they want to hear, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, just like Ahab and his 400 false prophets, and they will turn away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Yeah. Verse 5, but you, man of God, you, woman of God, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So there's a famine in the land today, church. So since the people will not listen to the true word of God, Hosea states that even the prophets begin to stumble, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons and speaking lies and hypocrisy. In other words, a rise in heresy and apostasy in the land, just like the days that we're living in today, where you have replacement theology flying through the church, dominionism, we have liberation theology flying, all these false doctrines flying through the church. Now, if you thought that was heavy, here comes the hammer. Verse 6. Watch. My people, you make that Israel because that's who this is written to, but you could replace that with the church because how many know we're God's people? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Watch this. Because you have rejected knowledge. In other words, you made a choice. There was a prophetic word here this morning. It came about a choice. You need to make a choice, my friend. You have rejected knowledge. You made a choice. You made a willful decision. It was presented to you, but you said no. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Watch this now. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. I listen, saints of God, I feel the weightiness in this house right now. I can feel it. This is not easy preaching. This doesn't bring me no pleasure to speak this word. But we've got to deal with this. We've got to deal with the truth of the word of God. Amen? Yes. This here is a very serious indictment against the people of God, especially against the ministers of the gospel, as 1 Peter says. Let judgment begin, but where? Begin in the house of the Lord. Let it begin with us. Let it begin with my heart. Michael Urisha, not your heart, my heart. Rejecting his truth, forgetting the law of God, neglecting the fervent study of his word. Pastor, I already spent my time at the cemetery. I mean the seminary. I don't need to continue to study. Listen, Jesus taught us something. Matthew chapter 6. Give us this day our weekly bread. So you can't get fed in the spiritual realm coming to church once a week, once a month. In a couple weeks, you know, we'll have the CEOs to come out. Y'all know what a CEO, right? Christmas and Easter only. Give us this day our daily bread. We looked at the parable of the sower. We looked at when Jesus talked about, he said, man does not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth. That's ongoing. That word in the Greek is perpetual. It means God is always speaking. How many know we always need to be eating? Do we have the ears to hear? That's what we're talking about here. God is speaking. Are we feasting on his word? Many times, those saints of God, unfortunately, the word of God gets buried beneath the rubble of the hecticness of our lives because of our laziness, whatever it is, or generation. It has generational consequences. God says, I will forget your children. We need to forget about teaching our children church tradition. We need to forget teaching them about the latest, greatest Christian fad and teach the true word of God. We need to teach solid Bible doctrine. That was our whole theme through 1 Timothy. Our mandate as preachers of the word of God is not to get Facebook likes. Hallelujah. Our mandate as preachers is not to make everybody feel good. Our mandate is not to fill the pews or fill our pocketbooks. Come on, somebody. Our mandate is to preach the truth, whether it fills the pews or empties the pews. Listen, I am not called to fill pews, but to fill lives with the unadulterated preaching of the word of God. Period. Period. So now we're going to turn a corner, and the message is going to get more positive. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. We need a reprieve. That's a heavy word, saints. I get it. I get it. So now we're going to move on. The kingdom of Judah is in a debaucherous, idolatrous mess, much like we have here in the U.S. of A. So about 120 years after the word of God came from Hosea, God raised up a young king named Josiah. In 620 B.C., you can read the story in 2 Kings chapter 22, 23, also 2 Chronicles. King Josiah rediscovers the word of God that was buried. Today, I want to encourage somebody in this room, somebody who's watching by this broadcast, I want to encourage you to rediscover the word of God in your life. Let me give you a summary of Josiah so we don't have to read all the scriptures. When Josiah was about 26 years old, he initiated a building program to remodel and restore the temple. It was in total disarray, mainly because of his father Amon and his grandfather Manasseh, who were both extremely wicked kings. His father and grandfather built and promoted false idol worship in the land. So Josiah did not come from a godly family. So let me just drop something right there. You don't need to come from a godly family. You don't need to have godly heritage to accomplish great things for God. Amen. Y'all with me? God could use anybody. He's no respecter of persons. But if you have a godly heritage, you need to praise him. You need to thank him. Don't take it for granted, but rather expand and build from that foundation of the gospel that has been laid in your life. Yes. So during the program, the building program, Hilkiah the priest, he finds a copy of the Torah, a copy of the written word. It had obviously been buried for decades. Decades. So now we're going to pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 10 through 20. It says, then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's attendant. He said, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in there concerning us. So they summoned a prophetess named Huldah. Huldah. Here is her reply. Verse 15. She said to them, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book and the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, and they have aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Do you see the idolatry in our land today, saints of God? Verse 18, tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord of God Israel says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes, you wept in my presence. I also heard you, declares God. Oh, this is good news, somebody. Verse 20, therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king. So the word of the Lord came back to Josiah, and because he responded to the word of God and was overwhelmed by the sin of the land, he tore his clothes in repentance and in grief. He then summoned all the people of Judah together, from the least to the greatest, and he himself read the Torah to them. He read the laws and the statutes. The Bible says in 2 Kings, it says, then all the people, pledged themselves to the covenant. We're talking about the word of God this morning. It's talking about pledging ourselves to the truth, no matter what pop culture says, no matter what the White House says, no matter what your favorite politician says. Oh, come on, is somebody hearing me this morning? Making a covenant with the word of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's our covenant. Listen, being a Republican isn't going to save you. My God. So in other words, when Josiah brought the word out, the people were pierced to the heart and they repented. Revival can only come through the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Did y'all hear that? It can only come through conviction by the Holy Ghost. It can never come through an election. It can't come through a governmental mandate. The leaders of the nation, the leaders of the church, have to first be convicted by the Holy Spirit, not by a political ideology. I don't know how far we are down that road, if that should ever happen in our nation. But how many of you know it can happen in our lives? Amen. Are y'all with me? This revival in Judah all began with the rediscovering of the Word of God. Now today, when I speak about the discovering of the word. I'm talking about the fullness of the word from Genesis to Revelation. We call it generations here at Judah. I'm talking about all the facets of the word of God. Let me teach here a little bit. In English, we have one term, word. But in the Greek language, there are three terms for word. You have the logos, you have the graphe, and you also have the rhema. We all know the logos because the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. The word there in the Greek is logos. In the beginning was the logos. You got it. Logos means the expression of my thought. That's what the word logos means. So what is it saying? In the beginning was the expression of my thought. God in the expression of his thought, even before the earth was created, was Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says Jesus was before the foundation of the earth. He was before time began. So in the beginning was the logos, was the word. And the word was God. The logos was God. So Jesus is the word of God. Secondly, we have the word graphe. We see this in Matthew chapter 4. It's written in your Bible. When the devil tempted Satan, Jesus said, it is. This is the graphe. Jesus said, it is written. This right here, watch this. Don't miss this. This is your legal document between you and God Almighty. My God. That is your covenant. Yeah. It's our legal document between God and ourselves. We need, saints of God, to rediscover the Logos, Jesus. We need to rediscover the graphe, which is our written word. We need to rediscover our study time. In John chapter 14, follow me here, watch this. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and if I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter. In the Greek, it's parakaleo, or two words, parakaleo, which is para means alongside of. We use the word in our English, parallel. You got me? Kaleo is an attorney. It's a legal term. I hope you're all hearing this. So when we get the Holy Spirit alongside us, that will never leave us or forsake us, we have our legal attorney that's by our side reminding us day in and day out what our covenant says concerning us. I hope somebody's getting this morning. Listen, we're talking about a courtroom, the courtroom of life. In other words, the accuser of the brethren states, you're going to hell. But your parakaleo reminds you of your legal document that says neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So take that, devil. The accuser of the brethren states you'll never amount to anything. But your parakaleo, your attorney, reminds you of your legal document that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The parakaleo will remind you, no, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You see, the accuser of the brethren, he'll come and say, you'll never rediscover the things that you lost through whatever you went through in your life. No, the parakaleo reminds you that the word declares, I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, says the Lord. Your latter shall be greater than your former. Oh, come on, somebody in the house. When the accuser of the brethren tells you you'll always be a loser, the parakaleo reminds you that you are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. All things work together for the good for me because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. I shall be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Come on, somebody in the house, give our God a praise. Hey! My God. So we have the logos. We have the parakaleo. We also have the Rhema word of God. This is the spiritual revelation in Romans 10 and 17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Rhema, the word of God. It's the revelation. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive the things of God. You first must be born again. You first have to have the Rhema before you can understand anything. Now, for a believer, the Rhema, the revelation, comes by reading your graphe, spending time with the Logos, Jesus. Then we receive holy revelation. Now, let me just speak to those who consider themselves prophets for a hot minute here. If all you do is walk around, you never study the graphe, you never have your face in the Bible, you never spend time in a closet with the Logos, with Jesus in prayer, and you just depend on the voice that you're hearing. Oh, come on, see, somebody see where I'm going here. You will soon be, listen, a false prophet. Because the Logos, the Graphe, and the Rhema are always simpatico. They never contradict one another. So I'm always skeptical of those who call themselves a prophet. Most prophets call themselves a prophet. We even see that in the book of Revelation with the woman Jezebel. She called herself a prophet. I am always skeptical when they always have a rhema and prophetic words. They call themselves a prophet, but they can't tell you the first thing about the prophetic graphe concerning eschatology in the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel. Oops. Most false prophets, most false teachers, most false preachers don't start out false. They become false. In the apostasy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it describes it because they did not love the truth, and so they believed the lie. So listen, saints of God, it's time to rediscover the truth. It's time to rediscover the word of God in our lives for ourselves. We need to be like Bereans. I know I speak to you about this frequently. Don't take my word for it, please. Nobody is above the Bereans. Paul the Apostle was not above the Bereans. Check it out. Read it for yourself. Don't just go on YouTube and listen to everybody spouting off something on YouTube. And hook on to the greatest, latest Christian fab. You know, there. I don't know if you've been following. You know, there's going to be the solar eclipse coming over the U.S. on April 8th. Can I see a show of hands? Who's heard that so far? Good, not all of you. Hallelujah. But they're making big prophetic things. Now, there could be some prophetic judgment there. But you can't jump and put all your eggs in that basket if something on that day is going to happen. Are you with me? Yes. All right, I'm almost done here. Watch this. Psalm 119. We're not going to read it. It's the longest book in your Bible. I believe it's 176 verses. And almost, check this out, almost every verse deals and refers to God's word. Concerning his concepts, his statutes, his word, his ways. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. This Psalm 119 is right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. Right in the middle of God's book, the word is emphasized. We need the word right in the middle of our lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There is victory in his word. If you're struggling with finance, listen, the answer is in his word. If you're struggling with relationships, the answer is in his word. If you're going through some family struggles, probably nobody here, nobody struggles with their family here. But here's the remedy, saints of God. Not Dr. Phil. Are you hearing me? If there's struggles in a church, there is victory in his word. We must remember 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It says pulling down these thoughts and these vain imaginations. It's talking about spiritual warfare of words. Because how many of you know we're in an onslaught battle today? Every time you turn the TV on, every time there's an onslaught of propaganda. You don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. You can't tell. Because you one person will say something, two people will decide what he said, and they're exact opposites. Come on, do I get a witness in this house? Here it is. It's the truth of the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor that we bear. It talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen, how do we fight? It's not with our mind. It's not with our carnality. It's not with our strength. It's with the word of God. We need to study, come on somebody, to show ourselves approved. We need to keep our sword sharp so that when the battle comes against us, we have it ready to go to battle. Let us not perish, saints of God. Let us not perish, house of Judah, because our lack of knowledge of this Bible.
Hallelujah.
When was the last time we tore our robes and wept for our nation, for our churches, for our families? Listen, God resists the proud, but he hears the prayers of the humble. God was moved by Josiah and his response to the hearing of the word. Isaiah 66 and verse 2, it says, "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are of a humble and a contrite spirit, those who tremble at my word." We need to rediscover the awesomeness, the reverence, the holiness of God's word. So the Lord gave Josiah a promise. He said, in spite of the imminent destruction and captivity that he eventually would come to Judah, he said, Josiah, you will not see this. God gave the nation a reprieve of about 13 years. Saints, I believe that we have that same promise today. As we see the calamity coming to the world as prophesied, because we know it's prophesied in this Bible. We know what's coming, right? This isn't to alarm you. This is to arm you. Did you hear it? Not to scare you, but to prepare you. That you be ready. I'm not making this, isn't fairy tale. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, what's going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ is a 7-year tribulation period. So we know that that's coming, but there can be a reprieve. I believe we have that same promise today as we see these things coming, the prophecy being fulfilled. We can't stop the prophesied word of God, but we can have peace, listen, in the middle of the destruction. There can be a reprieve. A final awakening prior to the tribulation period. That's my hope. That's my prayer. That we as a body of believers here in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, will rip our clothes. We'll weep and fall down before the Lord God Almighty. Cry on behalf of our nation. Cry on behalf of our children. That the word of God might go forth. That is the only way. There's not another solution, somebody. There's not a plan B.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But it starts with me. It starts with you. In your own home. We can have peace in the middle of this destruction. That's my hope. That's my prayer, that there will be an awakening in this city. There will be awakening in nations around the world. There will be an awakening in Uganda or Kenya or Pakistan as we're seeing the Bible go forth and the word of God go forth and people receiving it, drinking it like it's coming out of a fire hose. Mercy. Oh God, we need mercy. We need truth. We need forgiveness. But saints of God, let me say it again. It all starts with the rediscovery of his word in the house of the Lord. Can I challenge you today? Are you willing to tear your clothes, to tear your heart, and cry out to God Almighty on behalf of our city, on behalf of our state, on behalf of our nation? Are you willing? Come on, stand with me, please.
Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.